Welcome, everybody, to All About Symbian, Insight Podcast number 150. Let's hear a cheer from the team.
Woo-hey!
Yeah.
Woo!
Welcome up in Scotland. Let's put him first this time. Mr. Ewan Spence, hello there.
Yay! Treble 20, treble 18, double 18.
Very impressive.
150.
And in Hull we have...
David Gilson, hello. Happy 150.
And saving the best to last, we have the head honcho himself, Mr. Rafe Blandford.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for listening.
There we go. We've got some news, discussion points, as usual, and interesting stuff to listen to. First of all, staying with myself, the Nokia N8 and presumably other devices in the Symbian 3 range have got a videos update, ostensibly for adding subtitle support for SRT and SUB format subtitle files, which presumably you just stick in the same folder as the main video, and it picks them up and displays them at the appropriate points in the video. Also, I've noticed, before this update, my N8 wasn't terribly cooperative at playing some of the H.264 videos in my video collection. After the update, they all play perfectly, so I suspect that behind the scenes in this video's update, Nokia has updated the codecs. So well worth digging that out if you're in your SW update application in the applications folder on the N8, I'm guessing, to look in the tools folder on the likes of the C7 and the C601. So well worth looking out for.
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. You're right. It's in the tools folder on the C7 and the C601, which is itself inside the applications folder. Great to see the updates. I suspect some of the codec stuff is just supporting some of the more exotic bits and pieces. It seems to be, from some of the reports I've seen, that it's particularly videos created on the Mac and things like that. But I think it just re-establishes or reaffirms Symbian 3 as an exceptionally good video platform out of the box. There's the vast majority of videos will play that you'll download off the internet or import from elsewhere, and I think that's to Nokia's credit. It's great to have that functionality and not have to transcode videos as we had to do in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. I still maintain, despite all, Symbian 3's and Symbian's generally general idiosyncrasies, that the N8 in particular is just a hugely powerful media capture and media consumption device, and I'll stand by that, and I think it's world-beating in that area. Let's move on with music. Ewan, you've got a story. Comes with Music has been discontinued. Is that right?
Yes, indeed. Well, actually, Comes with Music became OV Music Unlimited a while back with a bit of a rebranding exercise, but typically me, I missed it completely. But it's now OV Music Unlimited. It's now being phased out almost completely as well. For those of you who can't remember, this was Nokia's buy a phone, download as much music as you like for 12 months, keep it afterwards. Now, there were a couple of catches. You had to buy specific handsets, and you had to buy, you couldn't just buy a voucher, for example, and add it on as a bolt-on. It was using DRM, which means it was tied to a specific handset and also to a specific computer that you had at home, and you could only change these once every 3 months, and even then you had to stay within the specified handsets. And it never really took off. I mean, whether it was a bad value proposition, it wasn't marketed correctly, or the Nokia were just too hamstrung by the conditions placed on it by the major labels, both for DRM, for locking to specific devices, and maybe they were only allowed to do a maximum of 100,000 in each region to stop it flooding with music. We don't know. In any case, what's going to happen now is you can still theoretically buy Comes with Music enabled OV Music Unlimited enabled phones up until the end of this year, and they will still have the year subscription. So essentially, it means in my mind that the music license for all these handsets is going to be running out at the end of 2012, and that figures, that's a 5-year license from when it was announced and the first bits of paper were signed with one of the major labels right through. So let's see, it doesn't die off in China, India or Indonesia. They'll still have the 12-month options available. 6-month options will still be available in Turkey, South Africa and Brazil. Nokia are keen to stress a couple of things about this announcement. One, that the a la carte option, just buy a single track for 59, 79p, whatever, is still available in every territory where it runs, and they are working on new and innovative music products. We could speculate on that, which could be a streaming product, it could be a monthly pass, it could be an unlimited on a monthly or a weekly basis, who knows. But it's worth pointing out that the OV Music Store is actually a success. Along with OV Maps, it's one of these quiet things that's just slowly built up, slowly got warmer, and it's now the biggest music store on a mobile platform. there are other stores, like iTunes, that you'll have PC components and all of that that can be drawn outside. But primarily for music and mobile, it is the OV Music Store. It's in the top three of music stores, all told, no matter the devices. It has support from the major labels. It has good support from the minor labels. And it wouldn't surprise me if this is turning an operational profit for Nokia. Right?
Yeah, just to re-emphasise what Ewan was saying there, I think a lot of the reporting around this discontinuation of Ovi Music Unlimited has been very negative and saying, you know, it's Nokia getting out of the music business. I don't think that's true. I mean, obviously, depending on what categorisations and what definitions you use, it's in various positions in various markets. It's clearly, I don't think, in the sort of Western European markets in America anywhere near something like iTunes, because of the sort of predominance there. But if you go outside of those markets, and I think it's notable in the countries that still do have the Ovi Music Unlimited subscription, that the emerging markets, it's doing a lot better. And in some places, it's really the only big mainstream digital music store. South Africa's a notable example, for example, where it's the number one, in part because there are no others, and it's sort of a reflection of Nokia's global scope. So, I mean, it's a sadness to me, because I always thought that Comes With Music had a lot of potential, but it was going to be very hard to sell to the consumer as a proposition. I think that's probably what's been borne out by, you know, its lack of success, particularly in the Western European markets. Was that inevitable? Well, perhaps things could have been done differently. I mean, at the same time, we've had the changing music industry in the background that's sort of gone away from DRM altogether. And I think that was probably pretty predictable. But people, you know, don't like the idea of DRM and weren't quite able to get their head around the concept of unlimited music and then being able to keep it afterwards. And there were just that one too many ties. However, it's interesting to note that Nokia did say in this release, you know, it was partly corporate speak that they're continuing to develop innovative music solutions, but it was certainly tying with some of the things that we've heard sort of in the background, that there's more to come. And if you, you know, look at the way the industry evolved, we look at things like Spotify or indeed, you know, any of the other streaming solutions, there's clearly scope for continued innovation. Ewan said in his piece on this that, you know, Zune Pass type of concept was a possibility. And if, you know, you could buy that for any Nokia handset, I think that then starts to get very interesting. Just as a small technical note, it is actually possible to use Zune Pass as it is already on Nokia handsets. It does a bit of a clutter. You use Windows Media Player to do the syncing, but it will work for those of you out there with that. You can use already, but it'll be interesting to see whether we get any announcements in due course on this.
Okay, it's worth pointing out with the Zoom Pass that you only get the subscription piece. One of the features of Zoom Pass is you get to download 10 tracks to keep at the end of every month. Those tracks aren't going to be able to be played on your Nokia device. So it's most but not all of the Zoom Pass stuff.
It's all the Zoom Pass stuff here. And actually, Zoom Pass is available in the US, Canada and the UK and a few other markets. The US and Canada, I think, are the only markets that offer the 10 free downloads. And obviously they're DRM free and it's sort of part of the subscription or comes with part of the payment plan there. In the UK, you don't get those 10 free downloads. But the reason this Zune Pass actually will work on the Nokia handsets is because they support the Microsoft Play Anywhere, I think it is, DRM solution. And so you can use them with the sort of DRM protected downloaded tracks from the Zune Pass.
Okay. The other issue that I want to bring up here is that I don't want to kick Nokia too much for losing Music Unlimited, because Nokia tried to do something that nobody else has done. Nokia managed to negotiate with all the major labels and to get something that nobody else managed. And I think that if we ever see the documentation, I think that this was not crippled by Nokia. I think Nokia realized that it should have been as a bolt-on, that it should have been available on every handset possible, that people could just walk up, pay 120 quid for the year and have as much as they want. I would put cold hard cash right now that the amount of clauses and opt-outs from the record companies on a territory-by-territory basis, on DRM issues, and on the number of tracks Nokia were allowed before Nokia had to pay per track, I think that strangled this at birth.
David, any comments?
Yeah, just some personal anecdotes. I mean, I've been using Ovi Music quite a bit ever since they went DRM-free. I like to reward anyone who goes DRM-free. Now, I've used it on E72 and C7, and I've looked wistfully on at mentions of Comes With Music, because I would have, as a consumer, I would have happily paid an annual subscription to be able to download as much as I wanted and keep the tracks, obviously. So on that sense, it is, rather than cancelling it, it's a shame they couldn't have extended it. It is interesting to see what they will come up with next. Personally, I do hope for some sort of streaming service because, for example, I've long been frustrated with Spotify because you can have the desktop client for free with ad supported, yet you have to pay £10 a month for the mobile client, which I subscribe to for 1 month to do a review on. But I just think £10 a month is too much unless you are spending that much on downloads, and I know I certainly don't. I think that covers everything.
Yeah, I think you're right there, David. And ultimately, the failure of Ovi Music Unlimited was about the pricing of music in the industry. And the reason they didn't want to sort of make it available as an add-on to existing handsets is it was looking to keep some mystery around the pricing of music. There was never disclosed how much each portion of a Comes With Music handset went to the music manufacturers. It looked to be about £50, but it could have been something different. And you know, there's still a lot of politics involved, as Ewan suggests, in that music industry. So although the idea was a good one, I think in theory the practical implementation of it and the sort of the ties that were there just meant it was going to be hard for it to succeed without major sort of consumer uptake and understanding.
And I think also, David, just to take your point on, albums nowadays are still priced between £10 and £15 in the most sense. So subscription at £10 a month for people who listen to music is not that much of a leap. To give you a great example, I'm going through about 20 to 25 albums a month just now, mostly because those people are all pretending to sing at the Eurovision National Finals and I just want to listen to all of them, and you've got about 20 from each country. So that £10 a month for people who are in that space is actually quite minimal.
Yeah, I've never bought that much music, and I probably don't think I'm that alone in that. I think I'm doing well if I buy five or six albums in a year sometimes.
Yeah. You're listening to the DRM-free All About Symbian Insight podcast. This can be played on any music player. Don't worry. Moving on. Nokia have announced the release, and lots of people, Rafe, seem to got very excited about the release of the Qt 1.1 SDK technology preview, even though you can't actually make applications that you can distribute with it. Why are they getting so excited about this particular release?
Well, developers are getting excited about this because this is the first opportunity in one sense to use the Qt Quick technology. That's also known as QML, which is a declarative way of doing UI. In other words, you can write sort of the way the UI is going to appear in sort of, it's a JavaScript like language. Basically, you write out the code and describe what the UI is going to look like in code, which makes things very flexible. But it also comes with something called the Qt Quick Designer, which is basically a visual designing tool for quickly doing UI. And you can, you know, create UI just by drawing it on the screen, if you will. It also does animations, transitions, that kind of thing. So this will significantly speed up development of UI for things, any application that uses Qt. And that's not just on mobile. You know, right. Our focus is obviously on Nokia, on Mego and Symbian, but it also applies to the desktop. And so this is a major step forward for Qt as a whole, and this SDK is kind of the preview release of all this tooling. It sort of has been available before in sort of various little bits. You could download betas or previews, but this is the whole thing wrapped up in the SDK, and so you can build it to target devices. You can deploy it more easily. As you say, it's not quite commercially ready yet, although that really is just a restriction that applies to Ovi Store more than anything else. So it's a big step forward, and Nokia have been talking for a long time about how Qt's going to have an impact. And this is sort of a really important weapon, I think, for them in attracting developers to their platform, because, as I say, it's about the ease of use of creating compelling-looking UI, which, you know, then leads to good UX. I still think you need to be able to design it well. You still need to be a good designer, but the tool now available mean that it's going to be easier for designers who, you know, may traditionally operate via wireframes or doing things in Photoshop, and developers to cooperate together. So it is a very significant release. You're also getting Qt 4.7 coming in this release, and there's some updates there. There's Qt Mobility 1.1, further updates there. And so this is, in a sense, we've had the first version of the Qt SDK, and there was the partner SDK, the Nokia Q Qt SDK, and they're now being merged together as one. This is a reflection, I think, of the maturation that the first level of the technology, which will really start being used an awful lot, rather than sort of being the transition stage, if you like. And in the future, you know, the majority of development for both MeeGo and for Symbian will be done using this SDK, and you know, that's why there's a certain amount of excitement and interest around this. So you know, it's a big step forward.
I just love the fact that Qt technology preview is actually an anagram of skew converged thy QI plot, which just sounds like something Stephen Fry would enjoy.
Thank you, Ewan, but I'm going to send you back to the Qt re-education schools until you say Qt as opposed to Qt, which is something completely different.
I can't go to that until I qualify from the Series 60 school of pronunciation.
Well, yes, that and Ovi as well. We have to send you back off to the education centre there. But no, it confuses me as well. So, but it's good to see these continued developments because, as I say, you know, developers are always the big battleground on platforms, wherever they may be, and particularly it seems in mobile at the moment. And people have talked with great fondness about Objective-C on the iPhone and the SDKs that Apple make available, and similarly for Android. And I think Nokia with Carbide and with Symbian C++ were perceived, rightly or wrongly, as being more difficult to develop. Well, I think that probably was right. It was also a reflection of the power available. But now with this Qt SDK, Nokia has a comparable tool set, and you know, depending on the developers you talk to, some will say it's easier, some will say it's more powerful, but I think it's certainly, you know, taking an average of all the views, it's certainly a quality, and there's an argument to be made it's more powerful because of its more cross-platform nature. Yeah. You know, the fact you can do it for a PC and then substantially reuse a lot of the code on the mobile platform. And I think, you know, looking in the longer term, this, you know, we've said before that Trolltech acquisition by Nokia was a strategically very, very good move. It turned out to be one of their best acquisitions. And I think this could be, you know, a key advantage for Nokia going forward in terms of attracting and perhaps more importantly, retaining developers. You know, you need all the bits that go with it. You need a way for developers to make money, and that's the obvious door. And there's clearly still improvements to be made there. But if you don't get the foundations right in terms of the developer tool chain, what's available there, you can't move forward. And I think with this Qt SDK, it's very, very positive signs for the future.
Yeah, and I just want to chip in as well. It's just, I think this is definitely, I think 2011 is definitely going to be the year for Qt. We've got a new story on the site that the American Calling All of Innovators contest is encouraging people, asking people to enter by making Qt quick QML applications on VN8, and they've actually got 18 training videos as well. So if listeners go along to allaboutsymbian.com and look up the news story for that, if they're interested in developing in Qt. And also Mark Shuttleworth from Canonical, who make the Ubuntu Linux distribution, has announced that in future versions they are going to bring in support for Qt as well. It doesn't mean they're moving to the KDE desktop. They're going to build in support with the underlying GTK desktop system so that developers can come to Ubuntu with their Qt application. So yeah, I think Qt is definitely getting a lot of traction here.
Yeah. Let's move on. Now, Zap! Kapow! Oh! I'm talking about comics now.
I thought you were talking about Rave's cat in the background.
I would have thought large-screened mobile smartphones, we've got these days, they're ideal for taking around comics with you, which are notoriously unwieldy. Yes, very pretty to look at, but they're quite large. Now, David, you've been looking at the comic scene. Is it value for money putting all your Star Trek and Transformers comics on the mobile?
Well, the value for money part, that's an aspect I'll come back to because I'm not entirely convinced. But what we're talking about here is that IW Publishing, who are well known for publishing comics in various forms, have come to the Ovi store, and they have a generic application which you buy or download a comic from the Ovi store, and it's the same application every time, but then the content differs. They've got several payment models. They've got some series of comics where you can get the first part for free and then you have to pay for subsequent parts. Some entire comics, you can download a demo version and then you have to download another version that you've paid for and get the whole comic. Each part of a comic has around, I don't know, 20 to 100 pages almost. And I think each series has got 4 to 8 parts. So if you get a whole 8-part series, it and each part typically costs around £1.50. There's some are at about £1. So it becomes equivalent to buying a graphic novel. My issues with it is I like it, and it's going to be a good fun pastime thing to have on your phone. You can quickly flick through the pages, and the artwork is brilliant, so full marks to them there. The thing is, for a single series, you're going to be loading your phone up with multiple icons, so you're going to have icons all over the place. But fortunately, this is one thing, I mean, you can organize icons very well in Symbian, as we talked about
folder
before. Yeah. But still, it's a lot of work. I would have personally preferred to see something like the Kindle model, something where you get one application and you buy a comic and you can read it on any platform. So yeah, does anyone else have any thoughts?
Yeah, have you tried some?
I've not tried some on Symbian, but actually this is one of the big strengths of the Sony PlayStation Portable. Back in their firmware update, version 3. whatever, they actually added a dedicated comic books application in as part of the firmware. And then in Sony's online store, the PlayStation Network, you can actually buy the comics and they all go into this one single application. And it zooms in and out on each comic pane. You basically get the comic pane, you zoom in and you press next, and it literally moves along like your eyes would move along the screen. And it creates for a wonderfully immersive experience. So comics can work on a mobile device, but like David, you know, there are issues of cost and there are issues of the application. What I'm hoping is that IDW see that they are getting some traction in here, and enough that they want to invest into a proper dedicated reader model. I do think and agree with David that a Kindle-like style where you have a central application and data files is much more flexible, much more useful than let's just bundle the reader software in with every single data file. But there are arguments to both. The key thing to IDW simply is going to be, is it making a profit? And if it is, we'll see improvements.
Yeah, and if anyone's interested in reading up what I had to say about the IDW comics, just go along to allaboutsymbian.com and the stories there, so plug. I just wanted to give one honourable mention to something that didn't get mentioned in my review, was actually the well-known webcomic, it's a favourite of mine, XKCD, is actually available on the Obi Store 2 weeks. I mean, that looks like it's coming in the form of one of those generic RSS applications, but it's good to have the comic there if you do follow XKCD.
Yeah, let's move on. Nokia has released, actually available now, I gather, their digital DAB radio add-on. It works via USB on the go. The micro USB ports on the new devices, if you just look at them really closely under a magnifying glass, they actually have a larger aperture than the old micro USB, and that's because they conform to micro-AB, which is a standard for USB on the go, which means you can plug in all these exciting accessories, not just Bluetooth mice and keyboards and hard disks and whatever else you want to try. Plasma balls. You can also plug in actually useful stuff like DAB radios and digital TV receivers. Now, Rafe, you've had the Nokia's DAB accessory on order for ages. Has it actually arrived yet?
It hasn't actually arrived yet, but I'm expecting it to arrive in the next few days, so we should have a review of it on the site in short order. You're right, this is sort of USB on-the-go powered, but you can use a kind of a headphone you want with it, because in the control unit there's a 3.5mm audio jack. It actually requires an additional application, which is kind of like the radio application but for DAB. You know, a lot of people have been in touch to say that they're interested in this, and others have sort of wondered what DAB is. And for those that don't know, this is sort of a digital radio standard. It's particularly popular in the UK, which is one of the leading markets. You know, the various radio bodies say that about 25% of the UK listen to radio on DAB. And it does have some advantage around quality of the sound and additional stations. So for in London, for example, you can get anything up to about 40 or 50 stations. In most of the UK, you'll be receiving about 20 or so stations. But for example, the BBC provide some extra radio stations via digital, and you can also sometimes get extra information, the soundtrack titles and things like that, coming through DAB. So I think it's a great example of how you can extend a phone, you know, through the use of smart technologies, and I look forward to trying it out. For those of you that want to buy it yourself, there'll be a link in the show notes, but it's available from shop.nokia.co.uk. It's priced at £45, which is maybe a little on the expensive side, given that you can now pick up DAB radios for around £20 or £30. But I still think it's relatively competitively priced. There's nothing else quite like it on the market. You can also get it in some of the Nokia shops dotted around the UK, both in the sort of Heathrow Airport and some of the sort of brand ones, I think, are run by Phones Direct. But it'll be available more widely, both in sort of high street retail shops and other online retailers from the beginning of February. I'll let you know about the review, but I'm certainly looking forward to having a play with this, and I'll report back in the next podcast.
Yeah, it is staggering how much electronics they can pack into the little tiny frames. DAB radios, when they came out 3 or 4 years ago, I mean, I'm sure you have one as well, Rafe, they're sort of big, chunky, mains-powered things with quite a lot of processing power involved. DAB is not a processor-like technology, but they've managed to pack all of this into something that's about 1.5 inches long by a half an inch by half an inch, which is very impressive.
Absolutely. I suspect they're probably using the phone processor to do some of the hard work here. And certainly it's true to say that sort of portable DAB radios, the technology has taken a while to mature. There are now solutions out there that are okay. But I think, you know, the benefits of having something all built into your phone, we've talked about convergence before, are pretty obvious. And I for one, am very keen to see how this works. I do have a portable Sony DAB radio, which works just fine, but sometimes can be a bit fussy about the reception, depending on where the air is and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see how it works, especially out and about and moving around, because that's where DAB can sometimes be let down. I'm looking forward to trying it out in the car. Unfortunately, I understand from some of the people who got it early that it doesn't work with the FM transmitter, which is a bit of a shame. But there are, of course, alternative solutions to deal with that kind of thing. So, report back in due course.
Yeah. Now, just excuse me one moment, guys, while I just pick up my next card. Uno!
Yay! I could have got a challenge in there, but I didn't see you put the last one in. Yes, Uno now in Uno HD for your Symbian 3 devices is the latest one from Gameloft. And I know a lot of people give short shrift to Gameloft for churning out games and not quite getting there. But I just want to point out that Uno is a wonderful mobile game. And I also want to point out that they've taken a standard card game that is available, they have licensed it, but if you play Mau Mau with a regular deck of cards, it's the same sort of thing. And they've just sat down and iterated this game over a couple of versions. We reviewed the Java version back in the E75 some time ago, and it just all works and hangs together. And it's like, you know, I'm not saying Gameloft don't focus on their other games, but whoever's been working on Uno really wanted to focus on getting a good mobile experience. They've made sure that it works on a touchscreen, that the cards are nice and clear. And I just want to give a hand out that even though it is £3, and all the people going, well, you know, £3 is a pretty good price to pay for a game that you're going to play for a long time. Yeah. There are still issues about, you know, demo versions and such like, which would be nice to overcome. If there was a demo version of this, you know, we would have expected to see that maybe 6 or 7 years ago. But, you know, there are times when things just line up. Occasionally you get games that are just must-buys for the system. Monster Hunter Portable for the PlayStation Portable. Angry Birds, originally for the iPhone, now is over everywhere. And while Uno will never be that strong, we must buy this platform to get Uno because it is available on other handsets. It is a really strong game, and I just like the fact that it works, it's polished, it feels special, and it feels like somebody said, you know what, I'm going to make sure you have a good time with this because that's the kind of company we are.
What an optimist you are, Ewan. Just one point here. In terms of gameplay, I'm just fascinated that very few people seem to have made the distinction that you can get games which are kind of play-through games. And once you've played through, you have played through. You've beaten the levels, you've solved the puzzles. That is the end of the game, unless you want to play it all over again. Maybe on a different skill level if the developers put that in. But essentially, it's limited. Against that, you have games which have genuinely unlimited, infinite gameplay, and that they're different every time you play them. And Uno is a good example. Also, one of my favourites, Micropool, is another good example, and various sports games like Real Golf. They are different every time because you will do something different every time, and that will produce different subsequent conditions. And for something that's got unlimited, infinite gameplay, I really do not see why £3 or £4 in Micropool's case is too much to ask. Rafe.
Absolutely, Stephen. I've also downloaded Uno and I had fun playing it, and actually played it using the HDMI out functionality on the N8, and it worked incredibly well. And I think it sort of, we haven't really talked about that aspect of gaming, but as a way of sort of having a quick bit of fun and not being restricted to the TV screen, it worked well. And it tends to work better with these simple games around something like this, you know, turn-based rather than the full-on action games where you tend to have the controls on the screen and you definitely need to be looking down all the time. But I agree. I actually prefer these kind of turn-based or the strategy games that have plenty of replay value in them, and sometimes the ones that you just play through, it's fun playing the first bit, then it feels like a slog to get through it, and then you finished it and that's kind of it. And for £3, Uno is definitely one of the best value games, I reckon, on the Ovi store. It's been nicely implemented, and it's good to see they've actually done a proper upgrade from kind of the Java version in terms of the graphics and the gameplay. It does play better than, you know, the older version, and it's, you know, a bit time, so you can hand it over to anyone and they'll be able to play it as well, which is, you know, no explaining controls or anything like that. So I think that's a good point too.
Yeah, and just before anybody who's a maths degree point out, we're not saying that Uno has infinite combinations. There is a finite number of combinations. There is a stupidly big number, but it is finite, not infinite. But this is I think, goes back to see why these games are so great. Because there are so many different options and variations, but all based around the same thing, you can start to build up strategy. You can start to see patterns and play ways that you would want to play. Chess, huge, huge number of combinations that can run a very basic set of rules. Uno, most card games are in that same sort of category. The fact that you have lots of choice, but at the same time, little choice, lots of strategy, but maybe only a handful of really good strategies, it's really hard to find that balance in a game. But you know, Uno finds that in Mau Mau, and Gameloft have captured that and made sure that that stays in the mobile version. They've not had a tendency to go in and play around a little bit with it and add power-ups or special cards or features. They just went, you know what? This game works on its own. We just need to not frack it up.
Yeah, and if anyone from Rovio Games is listening, come on, step up. Let's have procedurally created levels.
This brings me back to my old golf game fairway on the Scion. Every single hole was randomly generated by the program. That was the main reason for that was not to give unlimited gameplay. Yes, Ewan, yes. There was not to give unlimited gameplay. It was because I was too lazy to sit down and design all the different holes and courses. I just thought, hey, the computer can do all the hard work. I was talking of games, guys. I was playing Bounce It, which I think Ewan reviewed on the site. And I got really annoyed, I think as Ewan did, with the interactive ads between levels, and I wrote an editorial ranting about this on the site. And interactive with the people who serve the ads and coordinate with the developers, they've actually come back to us, and we're doing an interview with them, which hopefully will be up on the site around about the time this podcast appears. So do look out for that. And basically, I fired all my rant questions at them, and they're going to try and answer them. So do look out for that. Now, quick guys, before we go. Obviously, I got particularly annoyed by the ads in Bounce It. I know the ads look subtly different in other programs. Let's go around the table and ask David first. Have you ever tapped on an in-game ad on Symbian?
Never. I've never tapped on one. And I think there's two models of advertising in my mind. There's push advertising and pull advertising. Push advertising is telling me what to buy, and I don't want telling what to buy. I want to go and look up information, pull it from especially sites like All About Symbian, CNET, Engadget, when I'm ready to buy something. So, no, I haven't, because I've never needed to.
Yeah. Ewan, have you ever tapped on an in-game or in-app application advert on a Symbian application?
I don't think that's the exact question you want to be asking, Steve. but to answer it, first of all, no, I haven't. But to answer it indirectly, just because I haven't clicked on it doesn't mean that that advert has not had an action on or impact on that. For example, if that was to say Tron, your local cinema, one-off showing, which in theory it could do, it's GPS, it's location data, and it's built up a profile, or the fact that I'm playing a Light Cycles game, I don't need to click on that advert for that advert to have an impact on me. So while the obvious, I've not clicked on it, oh, they must be rubbish, I've not clicked on it, doesn't necessarily lead to a black and white, it must be stupid.
That's a good point. Rafe, what would be your answer to the same question?
Yes, I've definitely clicked on mobile advertising before. I've done
it. Partly pay for the site.
I've partly done it just to see what would happen, the sort of the basic curiosity factor. But there has been a time or two where I've seen something gone, I'll click on that. I guess partly in the back of my mind is just curiosity. So I kind of agree with the other guys. I do get a bit sceptical about how this works. But of course, you know, the click-through rates that we're talking about can be, you know, 1 in 100 or even lower, and it can still be an effective way to do things. And I think particularly on mobile, there's the possibility of created the brand experience that might not necessarily lead to a direct action as we typically think of it with advertising. It can either be building brand awareness or something else. And I think, you know, a good example of this kind of thing is the Barclaycard roller coaster application that's available on the Ovi store. Now, people will probably download that just because it's a free game, but it does build a certain awareness of, you know, Barclaycard in a sense, and it's, you know, it's there in the game, it's branded, so that's advertising to my mind. But yes, in terms of interactive stuff, you know, there still needs to be work done to make sure it's smooth and it's possible. And, you know, the problem is at the moment a lot of mobile advertising results in a pretty nasty experience, either because it goes out onto the mobile web and it's not a particularly well-designed mobile site, or fails altogether. But I would expect once that improves and once the targeting gets better, you know, it will become more likely, because, you know, I guess the role of advertising is to get to the point where it's sort of just tempting you rather than sort of being an annoyance. And, you know, it does work in that sense. You know, there's a reason the advertising industry is so big. It's just a question of developing a little bit more on mobile in general, I would say.
And just to point out, that Barclaycard roller coaster actually did work for me, because I saw that application, I realised that there needed to be an in-game soundtrack, and because I'd watched the advert on the television, I immediately headed over to the Ovi Music Store and downloaded Let Your Love Flow from the Barclay Brothers. So it did work, but perhaps not in the way that the credit card company were hoping for.
I'm so tempted to break into song there, but I'm going to resist the temptation.
Oh, come on, Steve. It is the season.
Oh, let your love flow like a burn on a wing, or something like that.
I'm going to have to put a parental warning on this podcast now.
No.
Yes, there are parents on this podcast. Be warned.
Now, we must finish up there, guys. We're running out of time. If you want to hear more of Mr. Rafe Blandford, just a brief note, he'll appear on Phone Show Chat this week. He's our special guest over on the podcast there. So do see stevelitchfield.com for more on that. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter, Steve Litchfield, Rafe Blandford, David Gilson, and just Ewan. And it's goodbye from me, and goodbye in Sussex from
Rafe Blandford.
And goodbye in hell from
David Gilson. Bye, everyone.
And goodbye up in Scotland.
Ah, great evening to the pendant race. Yes, good night. Burns night. I'm going to have some haggis.
Catch you next week, guys.